We got a good friend of mine. Actually, I haven't talked to you in a while, Schmelk. It's like a reunion of sorts. Back to the Fan after 5 years. I'm seeing all my old friends. And why not have John Schmelk on to talk about the Knicks? Schmelk, of course, you could read him on WFAN.com. Also has a podcast now, WFAN.com, radio.com, on the iTunes podcast networks. It's called The Bank Shot, a Knicks podcast. And I'm telling you this, and Schmelk, I'm not just saying this because I'm friends with you. Nobody in this town knows more about the New York Knicks than you do. You do an excellent job with your columns, with the podcast now just starting up as well. You have excellent New York Knicks info.
Well, that's because I'm a big loser. I mean, who else would pay attention to such a bad franchise for so long?
Well, you have been. That's one thing I wanted to bring up. I remember you and I were on the board for Knicks games back when the Fan had the Knicks. I mean, we're watching Frank Williams and Michael Sweetney, and you're talking over 15 years ago with those guys, and I kind of lost that passion for this team that I once loved so much. But you've always kept that through the years, and I give you credit for that.
I'm a basketball guy. I still play, you know, twice a week. It's the sport I love growing up. And, you know, if you go through the suffering long enough, Sal, when they finally win something, it's going to be that much sweeter, right? So in about 20 years when they do, it'll be a lot of fun.
I can't even believe, I always tell people this, if you would have told, you know, 14, 15-year-old Sal that the Knicks would not make the playoffs in my lifetime, I'd look at them like, what are you, insane? Not make the playoffs? I mean, it was guaranteed to have a top four seed in the Eastern Conference and a guaranteed first round. First round was like a bye, and here we are 20 years later, and it's like it's pulling teeth to get the team to be 500, Schmelk.
Yeah, luckily I do think, honestly, I think this front office group is finally showing the patience necessary and will be patient enough going forward to not try to grab the quick fix and kind of repeat the cycle that's repeated itself over the last 15 years time and time again, where they might actually be building towards something. Now, having the plan is the easy part. Whether or not they execute it and pick the right players, that's the tough part, and that's still yet to come.
Yeah, and look, I do believe that they're headed in that right direction, but they're still, you know, obviously ways away here, and you're somebody that I was talking about before is in tune to all this, so I want you to answer some of the questions that I have. When you look at this team, let's start with this team right now. You talked about it. You trust Mills, Perry, Fizdale. You trust this group to do the right thing, not only this year, but obviously years down the road to get this team in the right direction?
I think a cautious optimism would be the best way to put it. I think trust is a little bit too strong. They haven't done anything as a group that would make you say, oh, I believe that these guys know what they're doing. Fizdale, I think, probably has the best record of any of them in the group based on what he does as an assistant in Miami. And then his 1 year in Memphis was okay. And I think he does know what good basketball is supposed to look like. Steve Mills obviously has a long history at the Garden. I think anything with him, you have to look at with a lot of skepticism. And then Scott Perry has had some success running franchises and picking players. Now in Orlando, we struggled a little bit. So I think, again, it sounds like they have the right idea. Whether or not these are the guys that are going to actually execute it by picking the right guys, I think the jury's still out. But I think you'll like that they have the right mindset.
All right, before, we're talking with John Schmelk, WFAN.com. He's got the Knicks podcast that you could check out. Obviously, writes about the Knicks. It covers the Giants. You write about the Giants, too, on the website? I know you're obviously there. You're always tweeting about it, breaking down the film. You do a good job with that as well. You write about the Giants as well for the website?
That'll be on Giants.com if you want to see the Giants stuff.
All right, well, there you go. So anything Giants, seriously, follow Schmelk on Twitter. What's your Twitter handle there, Schmelk?
At Schmelk, which is S-C-H-M-E-E-L-K.
Yeah, anything Giants and Knicks, he is on top of it in great detail. Let's get into detail with this current roster. I was a little disappointed to read something you wrote a while back, and I don't want to get too overhyped about, you know, let's say Vonleh or Moutier. I'm not that into Trey Burke anyway.
No.
But a lot of these guys, you're basically saying if the Knicks want to be in a situation where they could get a max player in the offseason, that they can't have these guys back. I think Vonleh is a good role player moving forward. I like him on a team. Is there any way where they can have, let's say, Vonleh or Moutier and still get a max free agent in the offseason?
As it stands, no. They would have to move some other salary stuff around, like trading a Courtney Lee or something like that. Right now, the Knicks basically have just enough for a max level player with anywhere from, I think, 6 to 9 years of experience. So a Klay Thompson would fall into that category, for example. I believe a Kemba Walker would as well. So they have just enough. And again, I'm not excited about Kemba Walker either. I think he's too small and he's a little bit too old for this team and kind of where they are.
Right, I like him, but that's not what they need. I mean, they need Durant, Butler, Kyrie. I mean, those are the three you want.
And Sal, quite frankly, and you know what, Kyrie scares me with his knee injuries too, to be quite honest with you. So I'd be worried about him too. The problem with Durant is that since he's been in the league for 10 years, it's going to cost an additional 5 or 6 to get him. So right now the Knicks don't even have enough cap space to give Durant his maximum amount of money this summer. So the problem, and that's counting, you know, that total is assuming the Knicks renounce the rights to all their free agents. So that's Burke, that's Vonleh, that's Moutier, that's Hezonja, all those guys. Those guys have to be gone just to be in their optimum position now, which they can't even afford Durant. So the problem with Moutier is the Knicks have his bird rights. They could re-sign him and go over the cap, but in order to do that, they have to pay a $12 million cap hold because of his contract.
So they're not doing that.
No, it's impossible. That's why it doesn't make any sense, Sal, and I've been kind of beating the drum on this on Twitter. They're playing a bunch of guys major minutes that are not part of this team's future. And I'm with you. Out of those four guys, I like Vonleh. He's the guy I'd bring back. And I think they can maybe work out a cheap deal with him if they don't get a max player. But, you know, the other three guys, it's not going to happen.
So why, and that is the next question. We're talking with John Schmel, covers the Knicks for WFAN.com. Why then is Fizdale doing this? I mean, nobody cares about Mario Hezonja, all right? Even and Moody, he stinks. I don't care what they talk about. Man, Mario Hezonja is a scrub. They're playing him more minutes. Knox finally got 25 minutes last night against the Celtics, which is good to see. Neil Akina can't get off the bench. They buried Dotson for whatever reason and talk about trading him, which I don't understand. And they're giving Moody and Hezonja a good run. It doesn't make any sense then, because they can't keep these guys anyway.
Yeah, it really doesn't make any sense. And the thing that's really frustrating, Sal, before the season, David Fizdale literally said, this season is not about wins. This season is about player development. So why are you developing players that aren't going to be on the roster next year? And again, even if they were good players, financially it doesn't make sense. And, you know, Emmanuel Moody is playing better. He literally, for the first 3 years of his career, Sal, might have been the worst point guard in the entire NBA. That's how bad he was. He's better, but he's still not good. He's maybe a backup player at this point. And that's assuming his shooting holds up with the hitch and a shot. I don't know if it's going to. So they need to get Frank Ntilikina on the floor. I understand his offense is horrendous. His shooting is actually worse than it was last year. That's unacceptable. He had some shoulder issues. I think maybe that has something to do with it. But he's such an elite defender, and they control him long-term on his rookie contract. He's got to start getting into games. This year is about player development. Play the guys that are part of the future.
Well, and you would think Dotson would be in that category as well. So both these guys, Dotson and Ntilikina, both of them had a run. Look, you could say Ntilikina may not be playing based on performance. There was no reason why he sat Damian Dotson for four straight games. And look what happens. He gets him back in there. And the guy's been a good player for this team, so it makes no sense. I understand what you're saying about Ntilikina, too. They got to play. But if Ntilikina and Dotson are part of the future because of the contract, the way that it is with those guys, then Schmelk, why aren't they playing? It doesn't make any sense. What would be the logic behind it?
Yeah, Fizdale hasn't given a great answer on that. He's talked a little bit about, you know, guys earning their playing time, and he's kind of made vague references to putting the right group together, and he thinks Moutier kind of helps the group work, and he's talked a little bit about that. But, you know, the Dotson thing you're 100% right about, by the way. There was never any reason for him to get taken out of that starting lineup. Yeah, she got into a shooting slump, but everyone gets into shooting slumps. Who cares? And, by the way, Dotson and Ntilikina are their two best perimeter defenders. This team hasn't had a good perimeter defense in literally 15 years. And those are the guys he takes out of the lineup when at the start of the year, he said he wanted to build the team based around defense. There's just a lot of things here that don't make a lot of sense. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, well, maybe they're trying to feature Moutier to trade him. What are you getting for Emmanuel Moutier in a trade? Maybe a second-round pick? I mean, come on.
Well, they're going to have to, because they took all these guys on trying to take a chance on former first-round busts, which is great, and maybe seeing some potential or development out of these guys. But if they can't be here, then, yeah, I mean, it would make no sense otherwise. I mean, what's the point? So, Schmuck, when I'm watching the Knicks this year, obviously it's about the development, and we'll get into some specifics in a minute, you know, with Knox and Ntilikina and all that. Well, I'm looking to see who could be a part of this team next year when it counts. Vonleh would be that guy for me. You know, Moutier hasn't done enough. You know, Mitchell Robinson isn't going anywhere. He's been a good player. Outside of that, you know, I haven't seen enough of Neil Aquina. Look, he may not go anywhere unless there's some kind of trade that we don't see, but he's going to be here. You like Trier? I mean, I don't necessarily love Trier. I don't see many guys who I'm like, you know what, this guy, you know, Cantor's not going to be here. Where are the guys right now when you look at this roster that are going to be part of the, you know, part of the team next year that's going to hopefully turn this thing around?
There's not many. This is going to be a very different roster next year, and I think you hit all of them, Sal, to be honest with you. Tim Hardaway is going to be here just because of his contract, and frankly, I don't think anybody else would take him if they tried to get rid of him. Neil Aquino will be here. Knox will be here. Mitchell Robinson will be here. Dotson, they have a non-guaranteed contract next year, so they can bring him back if they want.
Why is Dotson being talked about in trades right now?
I have no idea. And you know what? And look, I have a lot of respect for Mark Berman. He's done this a long time. He's a good reporter. I think some of the stuff he's written about some of these young guys on this team, I don't agree with a lot of it. And I do not believe it makes any sense for the Knicks to look to trade Neil Aquina or Dotson. It doesn't make a lick of sense.
What are your thoughts on Trier?
You know, Trier's tricky. He's a very talented offensive player. You don't like the fact that he doesn't move the ball. His nickname's literally ISOZO, which is not ideal. And the problem with him too, Sal, is that he's on one of those two-way deals. So he can either be in the D-League or in the NBA. But once he's in the NBA for 45 days, he either can't be in the NBA anymore or they have to give him an NBA contract. So Trier could actually play some hardball when they hit this 45-day limit, which is actually coming up in the next couple of days, and basically tell the team, look, I don't want to sign with you guys long-term. I'll sign for the rest of the year, but because I'm playing well, I want to hit free agency in the summer and try to get a contract and maximize my value rather than signing a long-term rookie deal. So it might actually be tricky, believe it or not, for the Knicks to retain him long-term as well, just because of the contract specifics.
Interesting. I don't love him anyway, myself. We're talking with John Schmelk, WFAN.com, covers the Knicks, also has the podcast that you should be able to check out. The podcast is called Bank Shot, The Bank Shot. It's a Knicks podcast, so WFAN.com, radio.com, iTunes, podcast networks, like everything else. I mean, it feels like everybody's got a podcast, but this is a good one for Schmelk, from Schmelk, about Knicks information as we're going over here. Do you think that Knox is going to be an impact player?
I think offensively he can be. I did not like the pick when they made it. I like both Bridges better than him, Miles from Michigan State and Mike Howell from Villanova. I thought both those guys were better picks because I thought they were a little bit more polished and they were better two-way players, offense and defense. Knox made me a lot more confident in the summer league. He showed a lot of stuff that he didn't show at Kentucky. Kentucky, he was pretty much a spot-up shooter. That's what he did. He finished in transition a little bit, but he was a spot-up jump shooter. In the summer league, he was taking guys off the dribble. He was driving and dishing. He was throwing down. He was a creative player off the bounce. That's disappeared now that the regular season started. It's gone. He's now once again a spot-up shooter, which is fine. He's 19 years old. I think he can be a good offensive player in the league. Where he needs to get better is getting all the way to the rim and finishing. He throws us some awkward floaters sometimes. You see him. Yeah. That have no shot at getting in, and he has trouble getting all the way to the rim. I think that's, if he can do that, he could be a very good offensive player in the league.
Yeah, still a long way to go, though, with him.
Sure.
All right, I mean, so what's next? Is it trading Courtney Lee, trying to unload his contract? What's the next move here short-term for this Knicks team?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what you have to do. If you can take that $12 million off the cap this summer, it frees enough money for Durant. And, you know, I'm a wet blanket with the Knicks. Everyone gets all excited. I'm like, guys, you got to relax. I do think that there is a decent shot that Durant decides to come here. I've heard enough people around the league that are locked into this stuff, like Zach Lowe, for example, that thinks Durant might want this challenge after taking so much heat for kind of jumping on the Golden State Warriors' coattails for a championship. So I think they have a shot, and I think in order to have a shot at Durant, you've got to move Courtney Lee's contract. So, yeah, I think that's why they're giving him run. They'll try to move him. You know, maybe they'll try to move a Hezonja or Moutier. I can't imagine they'll get anything for him. And then, Sal, it's the draft pick. I mean, you want to talk about how this team's going to get better? Aside from free agency, it's where they select in the draft this year. And, you know, the lottery got rejiggered now, so you don't have as much of an advantage from finishing from 1, 2, and 3. It's kind of flattened out a little bit in terms of the percentages for the lottery. So if they can finish in, you know, one of the 5 worst records in the league, they'll have a real decent shot of moving up and maybe have a chance to get a Zion Williamson. Knowing the Knicks, they'll end up picking 12th, like they always do, but they'll have a shot. But I'm sure Emmanuel Mudiay hit some game-winning threes in April to give the Knicks 29 wins again.
Would you trade Courtney Lee? Would you trade Dotson with Courtney Lee or Neil Aquina with Courtney Lee just to get rid of that salary?
I would really like to avoid doing that. I think once you get to the offseason, you can work a sign and trade for a free agent or trade Courtney Lee into space somewhere and maybe do like a second round pick to move him. I would not trade a player like a Dotson or Neil Aquina. If you get down to the brass tacks and, you know, do I have to move a second round pick to get Courtney Lee out of here? Sure, I'll do it. But I would not move a player like Neil Aquina or Dotson to do it.
So if you're looking bright side, let's say they'll find a way to get rid of Lee one way or another. This is how this team has success. Porzingis has to come back and be healthy and productive from start to finish of next season. They have to hit on whatever pick that they have. I don't care if it's a top 10, whatever. They have to hit. I mean, yeah, obviously you take Williamson, Barrett. They have to hit on that top pick. And they have to land a top free agent. So Durant would be number one. Would Butler be number two? He probably would be for me. You're a little scared off about Kyrie. I would take Kyrie or Butler number two behind Durant.
Kawhi would be my number two.
Oh, I forgot about I forgot about Kawhi. You think he's leaving Toronto?
Nah, you know, it's a really good question. They're a good basketball team, man. They're playing some good basketball up there. I like Kawhi. I don't think he'll leave. I'm not sure if he's a New York guy either. I would consider Klay Thompson. He's almost 29-2. Kemba, I talked about. He's having a hell of a year, man. And he's actually playing better than Kyrie Irving this year. But again, he's 5'11". He's a liability on defense. He's already 29. I'm not sure about that. I think Durant will be the guy here. Sal, here's the thing. And I think this will be the real test for this Knicks front office. Will they settle? Will they do what the Knicks did when they, you know, tried to sign LeBron James and he left and they said, oh, well, we have to spend this money somewhere.
Right, Amari.
Hey, here comes bad knees, Amari Stoudemire. Come on down. And that's what they have to avoid. If no one wants to come that they believe is a franchise-changing player, you know what? Sign a bunch of guys to one-year contracts and you try it again next summer.
Yeah.
Maybe Anthony Davis decides to demand a trade. Then all of a sudden, you're in the mix because you have cap space. You have guys on one-year contracts. You can make that happen. You need to maintain your flexibility. The way you screw yourself over here is by locking yourself in to a mediocre player, making a ton of money, and you're stuck with it, and then you can't get your team better in any way, shape, or form.
And that's why I don't want Klay, and all due respect to Klay Thompson, I know he's a great shooter. I don't want Klay Thompson. I don't want, and I like Kemba Walker, too, as a player, but those aren't the guys that this franchise needs. It's got to be Durant, Kawhi, Butler, or Irving. And if not those guys, then maybe you do look for a trade. I personally would not trade for John Wall. Would you consider trading for Wall?
No. John Wall, after this season, begins his four-year, $160 million Supermax contract extension, he will literally be making $40 million a year.
Yeah, no thanks.
He might be, after this year, the most untradeable, toxic asset contract in the entire NBA. No way in hell.
He is John Schmelk. You could read him on WFAN.com. Also, listen to his podcast, The Bank Shot. It's a Knicks podcast on WFAN.com and radio.com, iTunes podcast networks. Thanks, Schmelk. I appreciate the time.
We'll have you on your podcast soon, buddy.
All right. Look forward to it. Thanks, Schmelk.
Thanks, buddy.